Well, I'm just wondering, how often do you use the word hope in conversation? Do you say things like, I hope you have a nice day? That's enough. Or I hope the weather stays fine over this Easter weekend. Or I hope you're enjoying your holidays. I hope the coffee is good. Do you say that? And also, I hope I get an Easter egg today. That's on there. They're kind of throwaway lines, really. You know, we scatter them around, not worrying really what the outcome is. But today we hear the word hope spoken in the scriptures, and it's something we've got to take note of because it's important to our faith, it's significant to our discipleship, and it's actually why we're celebrating today. So it's not a throwaway line at all. It's quite the opposite. It's a keeper. See, we just read in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. See, while the Apostle Paul likes to write about faith and the beloved disciple John likes to write about love, the fisherman Simon Peter likes to focus on hope. His own story actually influences why he writes about it. See, Peter often lacked the faith he needed to rise above the waves of doubt. He frequently misunderstood what Jesus taught him about serving in the kingdom of God. His inability to defend Jesus when the soldiers and the chief priests came to arrest him would actually weigh very heavily on his soul. The denial of his relationship with Jesus when other people recognized him was possibly the most devastating act of all. And then, as Peter watched Jesus die on the cross, the hope that he had in this man, while he had actually left his fishing nets and followed him, that hope was being severely tested. You know, caught up in the drama of the crucifixion, Peter was feeling both sorrow and confusion at what was happening before his eyes. See, Peter had believed that the long-awaited Messiah, the one that all Israel had hoped and waited for, had come. In Jesus, he had recognized the essence of the divine. In Jesus, he had seen the holiness and power of the Almighty One. Yet in the events of that week in Jerusalem, no longer they gave him the certainty that he once had. His hope in Jesus, the Messiah, had really taken a hit. Well, I love watching people's reactions to good news. On Instagram this week, we actually could see a video of when they actually announced to the next contestants of House Rules that they had won, that they were cast in the next show. So one couple excitedly squealed and started laughing about it. Another couple dropped their heads in their hands, sort of in shock. Two girls just stood there with their mouths wide open. Do you do that? There were two blokes and they gave each other a man hug. Another couple said, are you sure? And then the last couple just stared at each other and said, what? See, apparently thousands of people actually apply to go on this show. So to get the call and find out that you made the cut is pretty exciting. It's good news. It's news you're probably hoping for, but probably felt was a long shot. Well, unexpected news found Peter on that first Easter morning. See, Peter was one of the first to get the intel that the crucified Jesus was no longer in the tomb. When Mary discovered the empty tomb, it was to Peter that she ran with this news. Maybe her eyes were still wide open from what she'd seen, or rather not seen. Maybe she waved her arms around excitedly as she shared her story. For Peter, his first reaction was to go and take a look for himself. I think for him it was more, what moment? You know, he couldn't quite believe what Mary had said, and so it needed further investigation. But how was he actually feeling in that moment? Heart pounding as he ran to the tomb and back? Was hope rising with this news? Was he reviewing all that Jesus had told the disciples about the events to come? You know, when he saw the empty tomb, did he actually feel more certain that Jesus could be the Messiah? Was hope springing back to life? See, if Jesus was alive, that would change everything that Peter knew about him. Well, the scriptures tell us that Peter was actually one of the first to see Jesus alive. And it was through these encounters with his risen Lord that he grows in faith and in knowledge. He came to fully understand who Jesus is and what this means for all who follow him. And so Peter writes this letter. He writes it to the Christians scattered throughout the Roman Empire with the good news of the risen Christ. He explains the wonder of the resurrection. He explains the benefit and blessing of following the risen Saviour. He points out the hope that he now has in Jesus Christ, his Lord and his friend. For it's a hope that all believers can have. And did you notice that Peter actually explains this or describes this hope as a living hope? He sort of feels the need to clarify it, to give it some emphasis, maybe highlight its attributes, increase its value, extend its meaning. For it's an important word and an amazing truth. One commentary explains hope as having a life in itself, that it also gives life, and at the same time has life as its object. And you can sort of see that in the way Peter talks about the resurrection. See, the hope we have because of the resurrection itself reveals life. It also brings life to anyone who believes. And at the same time, it points to life that is an eternal beginning in the here and now. It's a full and joyful life with the eternal God and Lord of all. See, the hope we now have in the resurrection is more than an expectation of something to come. It actually embraces and impacts all of life now. It is life transforming. So I was trying to think of maybe a memorable word we could use today that would express how great this hope is. And the only word I could come up with was supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That's kind of an exciting word, isn't it? It's sort of a silly word, but it's an exciting word. Now, I actually wasn't sure if it was really a word, okay? I've heard it sung, but I thought I should look it up in the dictionary. And you know what? It's there, okay? In the online Oxford Dictionary, it's there, and it says it means extraordinarily good and wonderful. So that's all right, isn't it? That's good. You could try it a bit later on if you want, okay? It takes a bit longer to say, I think, than living hope. But it sort of gives us a sense of the excitement and that we have in Jesus. The hope we have in Christ because of the resurrection is wonderful, isn't it? It's extraordinary. It's very, very good. It's a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious hope. How's that? So why is this living hope so wonderful? Well, Peter tells us that it leads to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. See, this type of life it refers to is an eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changes how we view both death and life. The timeline of life has been redefined. The ending has shifted. The resurrection shows that Jesus is Lord over death, over time, over the whole framework of history. See, our living hope has no end. It endures beyond time, and in a way it has a lifetime guarantee. And there's not much in life, this life, that actually boasts of that kind of longevity. So you actually looked up what does actually have a lifetime guarantee. So if you hope to only have to paint your house once in your lifetime, you would choose Dulux Solar Guard paint. It actually comes with a lifetime guarantee. But it has a little asterisk next to lifetime, okay? You know what that means? So it has a whole lot of clauses. So the guarantee depends on application, certain conditions, and sort of other environmental factors. Now, the other product that had a lifetime guarantee is Tupperware. Who owns Tupperware? I don't know if I do, but I know about it. So if you hope to only once stock your pantry with containers for both storage and other items, you would have a Tupperware party and buy the whole set of Tupperware containers. So I checked out the lifetime guarantee on that. So it says the guarantee applies to those from normal usage if anything cracks, warps, peels or chips. You get it replaced free of charge. Has anyone done that? It's true. There we go. Do you sell Tupperware? Okay. So it actually also says that the lifetime guarantee is really 50 years. Well, I'm past 50, so that's not quite a lifetime. But it's about the product, okay? So it's not so much about, actually it's about the brand. So if the product does all those things, you get something else. Well, we know that plenty of things in this life perish, spoil and fade. Not many things last. But the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, has a lifelong guarantee. We do not need to worry about our eternal future. Jesus has our inheritance secure. A new life in Christ has a hope that extends our own timeline. The resurrection tells us that death does not have the final say. See, the hope we have through the resurrection of Jesus has a future outcome, but its influence is actually felt in the presence. Our hope in Jesus Christ is alive and active throughout all of our lives. It actually changes how we live today, tomorrow, and next week. It impacts our view on the world. It matters to the relationships we have. It sustains us through the challenges of life. It keeps us secure when our world is shifting. It shapes the way we bear our burdens. See, hope is part of our present reality. It gives us something solid to hang on to when there's so much in our world is changing. And in particular, when our world actually feels like it might be falling or crumbling. See, my heart goes out this Easter to those families who are feeling the loss. I actually think of the Noel family and pray that they may still know the hope of Jesus as they struggle through their grief and devastation. My love is also with those who are hurting this Easter due to the breakdown of relationships. I have a dear friend whose marriage is on the rocks, and I actually pray that this year that she still actually know the living hope of Jesus. My thoughts are with those who are suffering from anxiety and worry this Easter, maybe due to ill health or unemployment or financial concerns. I pray that each one will actually know the hope of Jesus this Easter as they seek the strength and resilience needed to face the future. I think of those others who experience trials in their life, maybe psychological or emotional. It could be due to work pressures or family dynamics or maybe other circumstances. But I pray that they will know the hope of Jesus as they navigate their way through those ups and downs. See, we need the living hope of Jesus in the tough times. We need the living hope of Christ in the storms of life. But it's not only for those extreme and maybe critical moments of life. The living hope we have in Christ is ever present in the regular stuff as well. Now, we currently drive a car that has an automatic function on it. I don't know if you've got one of these, but when it rains, the windscreen wipers come on. Even if there's a tiny bit of moisture on the windscreen, it will come on and clear it. And then as the rain gets stronger, it increases in speed. It goes faster. And, of course, then when it dies down, it goes slower again. If we're driving when the sun goes down, the lights automatically come on. If I go through a tunnel or enter an underground car park or into the garage, anywhere where it might be dark or has a shadow, the car automatically turns the lights on. It actually just happens without me touching a switch. And see, I think our hope in Christ needs to have the same kind of automatic response. Whatever is happening around us, whatever we're feeling, whatever we're experiencing, the hope of Christ lives in us should automatically come on. Because Christ is always with us. He is always there. And so God's mercy will increase when we need it most. God's love will assure us we are not alone. And the Holy Spirit has actually promised to comfort and guide us all through our life. See, the living hope of Christ is to be activated in every season and every situation of life. It is for each believer. It's also for those who are going to believe in the future. See, at a recent business launch of the Western Sydney's Red Shield Appeal, Major Paul Moles actually gave the message. You might know him. Now, the theme for the appeal is actually hope where it's needed most. And actually, you see that in all the promotional material of the Salvation Army. But Major Paul, he's a regular guest speaker at these kind of events because of the work he's done as an officer. And you might know, for many years, he actually headed up the Youth Oasis Centre in Surry Hills. And then actually he became a bit famous from it because he was part of a documentary. Did anyone see that documentary? I think it was back in 2008. Major Paul's now appointed to the Auburn Corps, and he embraces a very different type of ministry, but still one actually that's heavily focused on social justice and a lot of welfare issues. But at the appeal, he actually spoke about both appointments and how they intersected with the Red Shield appeal. And then towards the end of his message, he invited four people to stand up and actually greet the whole room filled with business people. One man had been through a rehabilitation centre. He was actually now clean and able to work again. Another man had been a refugee from Sierra Leone and now had found a safe place to live for himself and his family in Sydney. Another man had been an asylum seeker and needed legal help to remain in Australia. But the last man was actually someone Paul had met through the Youth Oasis Centre, and his name was Owen. And as a teenager, Owen had lived on the streets. He'd become involved in crime and drugs. Actually, he was one of the kids that we saw on the documentary. But now, 10 years on, Owen was a different person. He had a place to live, a job to go to, and no longer needed to beg or steal to survive. Now, as each one of these people, these four people, stood up, people around the room actually turned to look at them. And what they saw was the evidence of the hope that Major Paul spoke of. Each person's story of transformation was the outcome of the hope that they'd found through the Salvation Army. But it was a hope that came from an army of people who had the living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, each person they had met was an agent of that hope, the living hope of Christ, because this living hope actually overflows into the lives of others. See, we sang today, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. See, Jesus Christ is the reason for our hope. It is the resurrected Jesus that invites us into that new life. It's a life founded on what he's already achieved on the cross and through the resurrection. See, this hope is not based on who we are or what we've done. It is totally and completely based on what God has done for us through Jesus. And so we celebrate today because we are people who have a living hope. Or you could call it a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious hope. You know, it doesn't mean that we'll be exempt from the storms that come our way. We will still feel the wear and tear of a busy schedule and ever-changing society. We will still experience the pressures and demands of work and family life. We will still suffer from the scars and hurts of broken relationships and fragile bodies. But through it all, we'll have the lifetime guarantee of the hope that Jesus Christ has claimed for us. We celebrate today because Jesus gives us a living hope. Through it all, we'll be able to overcome, to rise again, to keep on going, because we belong to a risen Saviour, the one who is victorious over death and lives again. And for we know his presence, don't we? Because he lives within our heart. See, if Peter was actually writing to us today, what might he say to us? Something like, to the people who are scattered throughout Western Sydney, in Winston Hills, Pemulwuy Way, Greystanes, Castle Hill, Toongabby, Fairfield, North Parramatta, Granville. We who've been called into salvation by God the Father and have been sanctified by the Spirit of God and have received forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, we now follow and obey and love our Lord. We now know the grace and peace of his presence. See, this is true for the fisherman Simon Peter, and its truth actually lives on in us. We are people of the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so let's live in that hope every day. Let's celebrate its power in our being as it transforms how we view life, how it gives us new life, and how it assures us of an eternal life. And so this morning, to help us celebrate the living hope, we're going to share a symbol of that new hope with each other. There's going to be some baskets that come around now. And in them is an Easter egg. You're hoping for an Easter egg, weren't you? Here it is. Your hope is realised. Now, there's one for everybody. But what you've got to do is just don't take it, like what we did on Friday. You need to actually give it to somebody. Take one out and give it to the person next to you. And you know what you say? He is risen. And the other person, as they receive it, say, he is risen indeed. And so as you do this morning, think about the living hope that you have in Jesus Christ through the resurrection.